Welcome to the sermons of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Fort Capel, Saskatchewan. We pray that this may be a blessing to you and that the Word of God would dwell richly in your hearts.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Throughout his ministry, our Lord was surrounded by death. As an infant, he needed to flee from Bethlehem to Egypt in order to escape Herod's murderous rage. In the temptation in the wilderness, the devil took him to the Temple Mount and tempted him to throw himself off of the pinnacle of the temple to prove God's protection. There were many who were sick and near death who called on him. Demon-possessed persons who harmed themselves at actions of the evil spirits were brought to him. He is in the homes of those whose family members had recently died. In our gospel lesson today, a certain nobleman of Capernaum comes to Jesus because his son was at the point of death. And he earnestly pleads with Jesus, saying, "Sir, come down before my child dies." In all of these events, when the Lord is surrounded by death and calamity, he shows that he is the Lord of life and death, their master to whom they must yield. Due to the angel's warning, Saint Joseph is able to bring the infant Jesus and his virgin mother to safety in Egypt. When tempted, he overcame Satan by defeating him with the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, by quoting and trusting in the Lord's word. He cast out demons with a word saying, "Depart, unclean spirit," and they fled, leaving the afflicted at peace. He healed the sick by word, by both close and afar. He raised the dead, saying things like, "Little girl, I say to you, arise," and she did. And to Lazarus, saying, "Lazarus, come forth," and he did. When the nobleman came to Jesus in distress, begging him to come back with him to his house to heal his son, Jesus simply says, "Go your way, your son lives." And the boy is healed at the very hour that Jesus said it. The Lord shows his great power over life and death, shows that he is both Lord and master over them simply by speaking a word. He speaks and they must obey. He says, "Your son lives," and death, which hovered so close around him, had no choice but to slink away. Just as he commanded the wind and the sea to obey him, and they did, so too with a word he commands the forces of life and death, and they must obey him. The rich man came to Jesus desperate and seeking help. He had faith, but it was a meager and weak faith. He wanted Jesus to come to his house, hoping he might lay his hands on his son. The centurion, a Gentile who worshipped the God of Israel, showed more faith than this man when he said to Jesus, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but say the word and my servant will be healed." This nobleman had weak faith, but he has faith. For if he did not have faith, he would not have come to Jesus in the first place. If he did not have faith, even as small as a mustard seed, he would not have sought out Jesus and asked him for help, thinking and trusting that he could help. Even in a small way, he trusted Jesus could and would help. At some point, he had heard something about Jesus. He had done many miracles in Capernaum and Galilee, and word got out about him. The nobleman may have even heard about the centurion's servant who was healed. No matter how or what he heard and believed. Weakly, but he believed nonetheless. And when the Lord said to him, "Go your way, your son lives," the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went on his way. The word of Christ spoken to him strengthened his faith. It was weak, but the Lord, who by his word first created faith in this man, and who by his word healed his son, also by his word strengthened his faith. He built him up, deepening his trust in him to heal and to save. His word is both able to heal and save and to create and strengthen faith, for he is the Son of God. He has a human and divine nature, yet is one person. He is both God and man. He did not lay aside his divinity, but took up humanity into his divine person. And he exercised his divine authority over life and death in this way by his word. He created and strengthened faith by his word, for it was the very word of God. His word is a word of wisdom which shows us the way to everlasting life. His word gives us hope in the midst of danger and is a stronghold in which we may trust. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, says David, and in his word I do hope. And through Isaiah the Lord says, as the rain is fruitful when it falls, so shall my word be when it goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I send it. His word is powerful, for by it he created all things. By his word he declares us righteous when we believe in him for the sake of Jesus Christ. By his word he demonstrates his absolute power and mastery over life and death. Yes, he demonstrates his divinity and why he came, for he came to overcome death. Not just for a few persons, saving them from the brink of death like this child, or raising them from it, but he came to overcome death once for all. Through his life of perfect obedience to the will of God and his death, which he took voluntarily upon himself, even though he had no need to die because he was without sin, he worked to overcome sin and death for you. For death is the fruit of sin. It is the wage which all sinners are owed. Yet the Lord Jesus was without sin. He took our sins upon himself to make atonement for them, to die for them in our place, so that he could overcome both sin and death, and so that he could take away from us the power of the devil, who claimed us as his own because of our sins. With them forgiven for the sake of Jesus, and with them atoned by his blood, we are set free from the power of the devil, from sin, and from death. Those who turn to him in repentant faith receive this gift by the grace of God, and so too shall overcome death. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Just as it was when he was walking on the earth, so too it is now when he reigns at the right hand of God. There is life in him, life for the world, for all who believe. Yes, he is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. The life which he gives to us is the divine life which comes from God. In Exodus, the Lord God gave his name to Moses as I am. That is, he is the one who is life itself, who lives. And the Father, as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son of Man gives life to whom he will, said our Lord. And to whom does he give life? Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. And again, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. His words are the words of eternal life, and through his word, he gives us this life which will not end. Since we have all of this, we can confidently trust in the Lord, even as we face death. For surely we do not only face death at the end of our lives, but death is all around us. Rightly we sing in the hymn, in the very midst of life we are in death, or rather, in the very midst of life, snares of death surround us. For death is found at every hand. We are constantly faced with its reality, even though we might try to hide it. In aging, in illness, in sudden deaths, in deaths that seem to take too long. In the midst of these and other trials, we can trust that the Lord is able to deliver and preserve us. If he were to say, you shall live, then there is none who can take you out of his hand. And while many might use these trials to harm us, as we see the devil using those against Job, the Lord uses them to strengthen our faith. For just as the nobleman believed the word that Jesus said to him and was strengthened in his faith, so too the Lord works through our trials to strengthen us. As the Lord said through the prophet Isaiah, behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. And in the Psalms it says, for you, O God, have tested us. You have refined us as silver is refined. Through the prophet Zechariah, the Lord says, I will bring one third through the fire, will refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested. Why? So that they will call on my name. I will answer them. I will say to them, this is my people, and each will say, this, the Lord, is my God. As we are tested, we are strengthened, and our faith is refined. That which is dross in us is burnt away so that we might be purified. If it is his will that we are preserved through a trial and affliction, then we will come through it for the better according to his good and gracious will. And not only we ourselves are strengthened, but often he will use us to increase the strength of and strengthen the faith of others. For through this trial, not only did the nobleman believe, but he himself believed and his whole household. Many are the examples of the saints who persevered through affliction. Righteous Job suffered much. His wife pleaded with him to curse God and die in order to be rid of it. But he was patient through it and was strengthened. First, Jonah did not obey the voice of the Lord, but tried to run from him to the other end of the world. And then he was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and three nights before being delivered. Then, after he preached to Nineveh, as he was supposed to, he was upset when Nineveh repented, and he wished that God would strike him down in the desert. But the Lord delivered him that Jonah might write down these words, might write down these events, so that we would be strengthened by the example of God's grace, both to Nineveh and to Jonah. Elijah was hunted by Jezebel and thought that he was the last believer. He fled to the wilderness and prayed that God would take his life. Instead, the Lord sent angels to feed him and saved him both from Jezebel and those that persecuted him, that he might see that the Lord had preserved 700 faithful before being sent to anoint his successor and be taken alive to heaven. There are many more examples that we could list without end, but in all we see that the Lord strengthens the faith of those who undergo such trials, and many times they themselves then go on to strengthen the faith of others. No matter the danger, if it is his will, we will make it through. Then we shall, and none can harm us. But this is not always his will. Sometimes it is his will that we die. And that can be frightening. For the unbelieving world and those outside of the church, death is the great uncertainty that holds many in fear. Some try their best to hold death off as long as they can. You may have heard of that certain millionaire in the United States who's trying all sorts of things to live forever, including taking hundreds of pills a day and drinking the serum made from his son's blood. Others look to do the same through technology, trying to find ways to have computer chips implanted in their brains in order that they might save their memories or consciousness, and so when they die, it can be transplanted into something else, and in theory, they continue to live. Others take the opposite route, trying to end their life on their terms, by asking a physician to break the oath that they used to take and kill them before things become too difficult. Because we live in the world, because we are sinful and not perfect beings with perfect faith, we are influenced by these fears too. We can find ourselves being affected in this way. We might find ourselves afraid or uncertain at death, but our Lord would not have that for us. Just as he is the Lord and master of life, so too he is the Lord and master of death. The time of our death is his will. It is out of our hands. But this is nothing to fear, for we trust that he will bring us safely through it. Yes, our spirits don't linger here. They can't get lost on the way to heaven. It's not a difficult journey that takes years and years. The Lord Jesus has already went through death for us. He has gone through the valley of the shadow of death and has come out to the other side victorious over death. He will safely bring us through death to himself. Our death is not a surprise to him. He knows the day and the hour, and he has prepared it so that when our last hour comes, he sends his angels to accompany us, to be present with us so that no matter how we die, we are never alone. And they take our soul to God. He has prepared all of this, and so we pray for a peaceful death, for a good death, that is, a death in faith, a death believing and trusting in God who will save us and bring us through. For the Christian, death is how we enter life. It is the portal to life eternal. In Christ, we have already died. We have passed through death to life. If we have died with Christ, we believe we will also live with him, writes St. Paul. Death is the end of our earthly life, but the beginning of our eternal life. Yes, the soul is separated from the body, and that is unnatural, and it must be amended in the end. But the Lord uses this to give us comfort and rest while we wait with all the saints in his care. He crowns us with light and life, peace and glory. We see him as he is and participate in him. We are with him in a way that we are not now. For to live is Christ and to die is gain. For when we depart, we are with Christ. So long as he wills it, we will live. And we labor in our various callings, serving him through the service of our neighbors, building them up, comforting them, teaching them, loving them. So when he calls us to himself, he calls us to give us rest and peace. While the soul is at rest in Christ, the body is laid in the earth. It will decompose. It will return to the earth from which it was made. But our souls are not aware of this. We are at bliss, in joy, in Christ. On the last day, the Lord of life will come again in the flesh, and with a word will raise all of the dead. Most assuredly, I say to you, says the Lord, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. When he returns, all will hear his mighty voice, his powerful word, and death will yield to all who succumbed to it. All the dead, from Abel to the last man, will rise again in the flesh. All will be rebuilt. Bone will be connected to bone, flesh and sinews will cover them, and our souls will return to their bodies. Not as they are now, not weak, corrupted, and fallen, but instead we will be raised, glorified, incorruptible, and eternal because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for us. For he has taken away our sin by his death. He has demonstrated his victory over death by his resurrection. He lives to God, never to die again. And so shall we, whom he raises to eternal life through faith in him. Thanks be to God, who is our strength in life and hope in death, who gives life to the world through his Son, and who has defeated death through the same. May he keep us in this faith by his almighty word, with which he healed the nobleman's son, in order that we who are sick with sin unto death may be healed by his grace through the forgiveness of our sins, and so enter into life everlasting when he calls us home. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen.